This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Eye contact adjustments for courtroom and legal settings. How to use eye contact as a deliberate tool when the stakes are highest. In short, eye contact adjustments in courtroom and legal settings are not about staring harder. They are about knowing where to look, for how long, and why, so that your gaze works for you instead of against you. Jurors read your gaze before they process your words, so unmanaged eye contact can undermine truthful testimony. Attorneys, witnesses, and advocates each require a different gaze framework for their role in the room. Structure replaces instinct when pressure is highest. These frameworks give you that structure. Definition: eye contact adjustments are deliberate changes to gaze direction, duration, and distribution during high-stakes communication. In legal and courtroom settings, they are a core tool for signalling credibility, conveying honesty, and maintaining composure under the sustained scrutiny of judges, jurors, and opposing counsel. Imagine you are a witness. You have told the truth every step of the way. But the moment opposing counsel asks you the hardest question in the room, your eyes drop to the table, then dart sideways to your attorney, then land somewhere on the ceiling. You said nothing wrong. Your eyes said something else entirely. This is the reality of eye contact adjustments in legal settings. Your gaze communicates a second story at the same time as your words. It runs in parallel, and the people watching, especially jurors, are reading both stories simultaneously. Under everyday conditions, most people manage their eye contact well enough without thinking about it. Courtrooms are not everyday conditions. The pressure collapses instinctive behaviour, and without a clear system to replace it, even composed, truthful people look evasive. What I'm offering you here are five practical frameworks you can reach for before you ever enter that room. Each one is built for a specific role or moment in a legal proceeding. Each one gives you a structure that survives pressure. Why your gaze behaves differently under legal scrutiny. Stress does specific things to eye contact. It shortens the duration of your gaze, increases the frequency of gaze aversion, and makes your blink rate climb. These are involuntary responses, and every one of them maps onto a cultural shorthand that jurors and judges apply instantly. Short gaze means evasion. Frequent aversion means deceit. Rapid blinking means panic. This is not fair. It is, however, real. I have sat in enough high-pressure rooms over the decades to know that good people, honest people, can look guilty through their eyes alone when no one has taught them how to manage their gaze under fire. The solution is not to stare unnaturally or perform a kind of robotic composure. The solution is a framework, a set of clear rules for where your eyes go, for how long, and when to shift. Structure does not make you look rehearsed. It makes you look grounded. There is a significant difference. If you have ever had to manage nonverbal communication in tense situations, you will recognize this principle immediately. The gaze frameworks below operate on the same foundation. Deliberate intention replaces stress instinct. 5 eye contact adjustment frameworks for legal settings.
Framework 1. The juror rotation model. What it is?
A structured system for distributing eye contact across the jury box during witness testimony or attorney statements. Designed for witnesses answering questions and attorneys delivering opening or closing statements directly to the jury.
How it works.
Number 1. Divide the jury box mentally into 3 zones: left, center, right.
Number 2. Begin your answer or statement by directing your gaze to one person in zone 1. Hold for one full sentence.
Number 3. Shift your gaze to a person in zone 2 for the next sentence.
Number 4. Move to zone 3 for the sentence after that.
Number 5. Return to zone 1 and repeat the rotation, choosing a different individual within each zone each time.
When to use it. During any statement directed primarily at the jury, particularly extended answers or prepared statements, where you control the pace. When not to use it. During rapid cross-examination, where short answers are required.
In that context, a tight rotation becomes mechanical and draws attention to itself.
Worked example.
A witness explaining a timeline of events begins by addressing a juror on the left side of the box while describing the first event.
She shifts to the center while describing the second. She moves right for the third.
The rotation is not perfect or metronomic. She pauses, breathes, and shifts naturally.
To the jury, she appears to be speaking to all of them with equal respect and confidence. Eamon's note. People can feel when you are including them.
A juror who receives a moment of direct eye contact from a witness tends to lean forward slightly. That is the connection you are building, one person at a time.
Framework 2, the question at a jury redirect. What it is?
A technique for redirecting your gaze from the attorney asking the question to the jury while delivering your answer.
Designed for witnesses in direct examination and cross-examination who need to build trust with jurors rather than the questioning attorney.
How it works.
Number 1. When the attorney asks a question, maintain eye contact with them for the duration of the question.
This is respectful and attentive.
Number 2. As you begin your answer, redirect your gaze to the jury. Number 3. Hold that gaze across the body of your answer, using the juror rotation model if the answer is long.
Number 4. Return your gaze to the attorney only at the very end of your answer to signal that you're finished and ready for the next question.
When to use it? In direct examination, always. In cross-examination, for any answer longer than 2 sentences.
When not to use it?
For one-word answers or simple factual confirmations,
a brief, direct look at the questioner is natural and sufficient.
Do not force a redirect on a yes or no response.
Worked example. An attorney asks a witness to describe what she saw on the night in question. The witness makes eye contact with the attorney as the question is delivered.
The moment she begins speaking, she turns to the jury and describes what she saw, moving her gaze across the box calmly.
She turns to the attorney as she finishes her last sentence.
The jury received the testimony as a direct communication to them, not as a second-hand report.
Eamon's note.
The redirect is one of the most powerful single adjustments a witness can make. The people who matter most in that room are the jurors. Your answers should go to them.
Framework 3. The Judicial Deference Protocol.
What it is? A specific gaze system for communicating respect and composure toward the presiding judge,
designed for attorneys, witnesses, and advocates managing their eye contact when the judge speaks, rules, or enters the room.
How it works.
Number 1. When the judge speaks from the bench, turn your full body orientation toward the bench and hold eye contact as naturally as you would with any respected senior figure in authority.
Number 2. Do not look away when the judge is ruling against you.
This is the critical test. Drop in your gaze at the moment of an adverse ruling reads as either defeat or disrespect.
Hold steady.
Number 3. When addressing the judge directly, keep your gaze on the bench and not on opposing counsel, your notes, or the floor.
Number 4.
When the judge finishes speaking and attention shifts elsewhere, release your gaze naturally without snapping away quickly.
When to use it?
Anytime the judge speaks, rules, or addresses the room. Apply it as a default, not as a situation-specific tool.
When not to use it?
Do not sustain the gaze beyond what feels natural after the exchange ends. Holding eye contact with the bench during proceedings that do not involve you will read as nervous or odd.
Worked example.
An attorney receives an adverse ruling that excludes key evidence. Her first instinct is to look down at her notes. Instead, she holds her gaze toward the bench, nods once to acknowledge the ruling, and turns back to the proceeding without a flinch.
The judge notices.
More importantly, the jury notices.
Eamon's note.
Composure under a blow is one of the most credible things a person can display. The judge has seen lawyers fall apart at adverse rulings for decades.
Holding steady is rare, and rare is remembered.
Framework 4. The anchor and release method.
What it is?
A two-phase gaze rhythm that alternates between sustained eye contact and controlled, deliberate release.
Designed for
witnesses who struggle with sustained gaze and attorneys managing long statements or complex arguments where gaze maintenance is difficult.
How it works.
Number 1. Choose an anchor point. One person in the jury box or the judge if you're addressing the bench. This is your returning point.
Number 2.
Hold eye contact with your anchor for the duration of a full thought or sentence, typically 5 to 10 seconds.
Number 3.
Release your gaze deliberately, not randomly. Look toward a neutral point, such as your notes, your hands resting on the rail, or a point just below the jury box.
Do not look at the ceiling or at opposing counsel during a release.
Number 4. Return to your anchor, or choose a new anchor, for your next thought.
Number 5.
The rhythm is anchor, hold, release, return.
When to use it?
When you feel your gaze starting to drift under pressure, or when you're managing an extended piece of testimony that does not lend itself to the rotation model.
When not to use it?
Do not rely on it as your primary gaze system. If you're releasing more than you're anchoring, the rhythm has inverted and you will appear evasive.
Worked example.
A witness is partway through a long answer and feels the pressure of cross-examination rising.
He anchors on a dura in the center of the box while delivering one sentence. He releases to his own hands resting on the rail for a beat. He returns to a different dura for the next sentence. The rhythm is slow and steady. He does not look trapped. Eamon's note. The release matters as much as the anchor. An uncontrolled release, the eye shooting sideways or upward, tells the room your gaze escaped rather than rested. Practice the release until it is calm. Framework 5. Thiel and verse examination hold. What it is? A specific gaze protocol for maintaining steady eye contact during hostile or aggressive cross-examination, designed for witnesses facing adversarial questioning, designed to rattle composure through sustained pressure or rapid-fire delivery. How it works. Number 1. When cross-examination begins and the tone is aggressive, set your gaze on the questioning attorney rather than the jury. This is the one situation where attorney-directed gaze is correct. It signals that you are not intimidated. Number 2. Hold that gaze through the delivery of difficult or hostile questions. Do not look to your attorney. This is the most important single rule in this framework. Number 3. Before answering, take one slow breath. During that breath, shift your gaze from the attorney to the jury. This break in gaze signals that your answer is for the jury, not a defensive response to the questioner. Number 4. Deliver your answer to the jury, using a short rotation if time allows. Number 5. Return your gaze to the attorney as your answer concludes, to signal readiness for the next question. When to use it? During cross-examination specifically, and any moment when a questioner is attempting to use aggression or speed to destabilize you. When not to use it? Do not hold an aggressive gaze posture with the judge. The judicial deference protocol takes precedence over all others when the judge is speaking. Worked example. Opposing counsel fires 3 rapid questions in succession, each designed to make the witness appear inconsistent. The witness holds eye contact with the attorney through each question, breathing steadily. Before each answer, she shifts her gaze to the jury and delivers her response calmly, directly. The attorney's aggression has no landing place. The jury sees a composed person answering questions honestly. Eamon's note. I have seen witnesses destroyed not by the words of cross-examination, but by what their eyes did in response to it. The moment your gaze breaks toward your attorney, the jury reads it as a plea for rescue. Do not give opposing counsel that gift. Choosing the right framework for each moment. Not every framework fits every moment. Here is a quick reference to help you reach for the right tool. Situation recommended framework. Witness answering in direct examination, questioner to jury redirect plus jury rotation. Witness under hostile cross-examination, adverse examination, hold. Attorney delivering opening or closing statement, jury rotation model. Judge is ruling or speaking, judicial deference protocol. Long testimony with gaze pressure building, anchor and release method. One word or yes slash no answers, non-natural brief eye contact with questioner. The jury rotation model and the questioner to jury redirect work in combination for most direct testimony. Think of them as the default system, and the other 3 as situation-specific tools you reach for when the conditions shift. The role of communication in meeting success follows a similar logic. Read the room, identify the moment, and apply the right tool. Where eye contact breaks down. 3 patterns that destroy credibility. Even with these frameworks in hand, there are predictable failures. Knowing them is as important as knowing the frameworks themselves. Number 1. Looking at your attorney on hard questions. Why it happens. Under pressure, people seek reassurance from the person on their side. What to do instead? Treat any glance at your attorney during cross-examination as a reflex to be trained out. Practice holding your gaze on the questioner and the jury regardless of how the question lands. Number 2. Breaking gaze at the moment of an adverse ruling. Why it happens? Disappointment and frustration are physical. The eyes drop before the mind catches up. What to do instead? Prepare for adverse rulings before you enter the room. Rehearse the specific sensation of holding your gaze steady when you receive news you do not want. Number 3. Rotating too mechanically. Why it happens? The jury rotation model, when over-practiced, becomes a metronome. Jurors can feel the pattern and it starts to seem performed. What to do instead? Vary your timing. Hold one juror slightly longer if a key point lands. Pause and breathe before you rotate. The structure should feel like a natural instinct, not a rehearsed trick. For more on managing the nonverbal dimensions of difficult exchanges, how to handle conflict during meetings offers a grounding framework that applies beyond the meeting room. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books Eight Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. How to build genuine fluency with these frameworks. Reading these frameworks will not make them available to you under pressure. Pressure collapses what is merely understood. It only spares what has been practiced until it is instinctive. Start with the Dewar rotation model. It is the most broadly useful and the safest to practice in ordinary settings, meetings, presentations, conversations with small groups. How to deal with dominant voices in a discussion is a context where deliberate gaze distribution sharpens quickly because you are managing attention across a group under mild pressure. Add the question to Dewey redirect next. Practice this in any situation where one person asks a question that you want to answer to a broader group. The mechanics transfer directly. For witnesses preparing for trial, mock examination sessions are the gold standard. Do them with a video camera running and watch your own eye contact without mercy. The adverse examination hold is the hardest to learn because its trigger is stress itself. The best way to build it is to de-escalate arguments during meetings and notice where your gaze goes under challenge. If you can hold steady in a contentious meeting, you're building the same muscle you will need in a courtroom. For attorneys, structured repetition across client preparation sessions is where fluency lives. Work through these frameworks with every client before they testify. The empathy bridge technique is a useful companion here. It builds the kind of grounded presence that makes deliberate gaze feel natural rather than effortful. Allow 4 to 6 weeks of consistent practice before a significant legal proceeding. The frameworks need to become default, not deliberate. What carries you through when the pressure peaks? There is a moment in every difficult proceeding when everything you prepared feels like it is dissolving. The questioning intensifies, the room tightens, and every instinct you have tells you to look away. That is precisely when eye contact adjustments matter most, and precisely when they are hardest to execute. Here is what I know after 6 decades of watching people perform under pressure. The ones who hold steady are not the ones who feel no pressure. They're the ones who have a system clear enough to reach for when everything else blurs. They know, I anchor here, I redirect there, I hold my gaze through this moment and release deliberately in this one. The system carries them when their nerves cannot. The SBI method works on the same principle: a clear structure gives you ground to stand on when the conversation is hardest. Eye contact adjustments and legal settings are no different. The frameworks in this article are not tricks or performances. They are tools built for the moments when composure matters most and comes least naturally. Trust them. Practice them. Walk into that room knowing where your eyes are going and why. Frequently asked questions. What are eye contact adjustments in legal settings? Eye contact adjustments in legal settings are deliberate changes to where, when, and how long you hold your gaze during courtroom proceedings. They help witnesses, attorneys, and advocates manage credibility, signal honesty, and demonstrate composure under the sustained scrutiny of judges, jurors, and opposing counsel.
How should a witness use eye contact adjustments when testifying? A witness should answer questions while looking directly at the jurors rather than the attorney asking them. This builds a direct trust connection with the people deciding the case. Shifting gaze naturally between jurors and the questioner shows confidence without appearing evasive or rehearsed.
Why does eye contact matter so much in a courtroom? Eye contact in a courtroom is one of the clearest signals of credibility a person can give.
Jurors and judges read gaze patterns to judge truthfulness and composure.
Avoiding eye contact under questioning is frequently interpreted as evasion, even when the person is simply nervous or overwhelmed.
Can eye contact adjustments help reduce the appearance of nervousness?
Yes, deliberate eye contact adjustments give anxious witnesses a structured focus point, which reduces the scattered, darting gaze that signals panic. Anchoring your gaze on one juror for a full sentence before moving naturally to another slows the visual pace and projects calm even when you do not feel it.
How do attorneys use eye contact adjustments differently than witnesses?
Attorneys use eye contact adjustments to hold authority in the room, build rapport with jurors during opening and closing statements, and signal respect to the judge. Witnesses use them primarily to signal honesty and composure. The frameworks differ because the goals and power dynamics in each role are different.
What is the biggest eye contact mistake in courtroom settings?
The most damaging mistake is looking at your own attorney the moment a difficult question arrives. Jurors read this immediately as a signal that you need rescuing, which destroys credibility.
Eye contact adjustments train you to hold your gaze steady on the questioner or the jury even when the pressure spikes.
Thank you for listening.
If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way.
115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them.
Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.